You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 15th of December. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Of course, I am joined today by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing this fine winter's evening?
Sorry, that's from your friends, then. How are you doing? I'm doing all right. I mean, I've got to get this in before I forget. I've just given up on Trump.
What are you referring to this time, Dennis?
I'm referring to him, a video where he just like his head so far up Israel's backside, and the handing over of Jerusalem. It's just come on.
I don't see how anyone can say that he's trying to get one over on the Jews at all. I mean, he really does suck up to them, but they still hate him. It's not going to do him any good.
Exactly.
It's going to do no good at all. All I can think of with this Jerusalem thing is that he thinks that by doing that, maybe they will ease back a little bit on the criticizing of him. But that seems to have backfired, because the media all around the world is still criticizing him. All the governments around the world are criticizing him for it.
I'll see what his problem is now. Not only were the left abusing him, and everybody else who didn't like him for whatever reason, but now his own fan base is looking at him like he's some idiot from Mars. You know what I mean?
I do. I must admit, it is, you know, part of me just says, well, you know, it is quite funny, because it does seem like you just like stirring the pot, and now you've got all these Muslims furious at him, throwing rocks and rioting, and then you've got the Jews being badly behaved and bombing the Palestinians. So, I mean, it is making both the Muslims and the Jews look bad, and all the governments of the world are furious at him. So, I mean, I can't be all mad at him, if you see what I mean. Part of me, you know, sort of finds it quite funny, but maybe I'm in a minority
thinking
that.
Well, yeah, but if you saw that video I saw, there were 5 minutes on the 6 million.
Well, it's pretty sickening to watch him sucking up to them.
Yeah,
I will say that. That is grotesque, watching him put the funny hat on, and all these politicians that go over there and bow down to that wall, and they, you know, they pretend that that is the wall of the temple, and it's not.
I know. It's not, is it?
The temple was completely destroyed. You know,
Romans do a good job.
Yeah, there's a reference to that actually being the wall of a refuse dump, a Christian refuse dump, where the women would throw all their sanitary waste. And that's what it was for hundreds of years.
They leave a note in the wall, don't they, or something?
Yeah. They pretend that it's something holy.
Presumed to sin.
Well, yeah. And have you seen the movements they do, these Jews? They pretend they're having sex in front of the wall as well.
Oh, yeah, they're there to go in.
Yeah, that's apparently for the Shekinah, the female part of the god that they worship.
Oh, yeah, because it's a dual god, isn't it?
Yeah, goddess worship, and all to do with the Kabbalah.
Baphomet, yeah.
Twisted. Anyway, we've got something else that we're going to get into tonight. It seems to be going quite well, these comments and questions that people have been sending in. And what we've actually got tonight is something that's been put up on Pastebin. Now, I've never actually seen anything that's any good on Pastebin. It just looks to me like waste bin.
Stuff that's just put in the bin, if you ask me.
Yeah, it should be thrown in the bin. But basically, someone's trying to debunk Dennis's work, and they've decided to pick on a particular section from it. Yeah. They tried to pick on a particular section from it to do with the Holocaust. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through that tonight, and Dennis is going to debunk their debunking, which should be okay. And he starts, he says, and we don't know who this is either. This is an anonymous debunking of Dennis's documentary. And it says, it's easy to debunk your pseudo documentary. Let's take a look at the Holocaust part of it. And he starts off with, "The Nuremberg Danzig soap has never been debunked. It was not mass-produced," hence Lipstadt's quote for context, and he produces a link there to Lipstadt saying it was not mass-produced, "but attempts were indeed made. It was obviously not the Jewish soap, which is a myth." So what would you have to say to that, Dennis? And then I'll follow with what I think of it.
To say Germany had the Bolsheviks coming in from one side and the Freemasons from the other side, and eventually 50-odd countries were ganging up on them because they'd all been fooled into thinking Hitler was the bad guy, I'm surprised they had time to play chess. Never mind make soap.
Well, this is similar to what I would have to say to it as well. Do they really think that the Germans wanted to wash their face in dead Jews? Seriously? You think the Germans wanted to wash themselves in dead Jews?
I don't know. But that, to me, is just ludicrous. I don't care what sources he sends. It's ludicrous.
Well, I believe the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum itself has said that the soap was a myth. It was wartime propaganda.
Papers, a couple of Israeli papers and Lipstadt and a few others have all said it was a myth, but it took them 30 years to say it, right?
Well, what he seems to be saying here is he says that the myth part is that it was mass-produced, but that there were attempts to do this. But why? Why would there be attempts made to make soap out of dead Jews? Why would anybody want to do that?
Once Asda's turned it down, there's nowhere to go, is there?
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Jesus. It's too ridiculous for words, isn't it?
Right, the next one. It says, "The shrunken heads are supported by documentary evidence." And then he provides a link which basically shows pictures of the shrunken heads. So what have you got to say to that? The pictures, Dennis, there are real pictures of them. Documentary evidence.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, like, they were supposed to be Polish, but they're black. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so from the Amazon.
Some clowns picked them up from Amazon somewhere, brought them back and said, look what the Germans did to these Polish prisoners.
Just the fact that they do actually have shrunken heads does not necessarily mean that it was the Germans that did that. As you say, they're not Jewish heads. They're not Jewish heads.
They're not Jewish heads, no. Well, they might be, because there are some black Jews, I think, but I don't think they come from any camp.
Again, why would the Germans want to be shrinking Jews' heads? You know, these tribesmen in the Amazon, they shrink their enemies' heads and they put them all in a tribal house, and it's because they believe the spirits stay within the heads. I mean, it's like a voodoo magic myth ritual that these tribes have that are barely out of the Stone Age.
it's not like it had been done before, so it's not something they're doing for the first time, is it?
You should have a mute button on your microphone, Dennis. Sorry about that. If you want to cough, that might help. You can spot it there. That might help. Just don't forget that you've got it pressed in. This is something that people did in the Stone Age. So why would the Germans, the most technologically advanced race at the time the war was going on, why would they suddenly revert back to the Stone Age and start shrinking heads? I'm surprised they weren't accused of eating the brains of their enemies as well. And other
didn't think of that one, did they?
Other tribal behavior.
What they thought of at the time. I told you, that letter what was written to the BBC and to the clergy from the British government saying that there's going to be all these atrocities in Europe because we know what the Bolsheviks are like. When they went into Poland in 1920, they raped everything in sight. So we know it's going to come. And the only way that we can combat it is not like in the First World War where we said, like, that Germans bayoneted babies and all this kind of carry on. We've got to think of something different this time. And this time what we're going to do is we're going to think of more horrible genocide tales that, you know, we can say Germany did, which were so bad that, you know, the Bolsheviks can then be swept under the carpet. all these 2 million rapes. So, you know, it's what we thought of, isn't it?
I think there's also in one third of the Holocaust, or maybe a dumb portrayal of evil, one of the early Holocaust denial videos, he looked at these, and I think he found that there were shrunken heads on a list of things that were in a local museum. And it could very conceivably that they took these shrunken heads from the local museum and then put them in the concentration camp. Because where all this comes from is after America had liberated one of the concentration camps, they stopped everybody from going in there. And then the psychological warfare department went in there for 3 or 4 days beforehand. And then what they did, the psychological warfare department set up this table.
Boot sale out, yeah.
A car boot sale. Yeah, basically. And then they invited all the
class
villagers to come in and see this display that they had put up for them. And that was where these heads and tattooed skin and lampshades.
And to be fair, they were dead bodies, but they were emaciated because they'd been died of disease or starvation. But obviously it was twisted. The Allies knew it weren't nothing to do with being gassed. But the German people themselves didn't know. So consequently, when they saw all these piles of dead bodies, it's 2 and 2 make 4. But as you know, the Americans are not stupid. They must have known that they weren't gassed.
Well, I think another thing that can be shown from this is this shows you how loyal the Germans were. They were loyal to the National Socialist regime. And the National Socialist regime, they weren't devils. They were really good. They were really good to the German people. So the Allies realised that they were going to have to tell some pretty big whoppers.
Yeah,
to get the German people to reject National Socialism. So they had to come up with some really horrific things. And part of that is shrunken heads and using dead Jews to wash yourself in. That's the most bizarre one, I think. But there's another one that he brings up, and he says, so are the tattoos. They are supported by documentary evidence, which were gathered from corpses for the Museum of Criminality. What do you say to that one, Dennis?
Well, this isn't news to me that they're finding these documents all of a sudden. For such a long time, they've been telling the stories without having any documents, or the fake, or the forged, or they've been debunked. And every now and again, you know, it comes up again. We've got some documents. I mean, somebody on YouTube ran the go at me and said, why are you going to Auschwitz? They've got the real documents on Auschwitz and all that. And let's face it, there were millions of documents and they didn't find one. So they're going to make them up, like they made one or two other things up, which we know of. So to me, it's just... it's sport on the defeated, because nobody's going to stand up for them, nobody's going to speak up for them, because they just get crushed. So consequently, it was just sport on National Socialists.
And the thing is, I mean, what he means by documentary evidence is that video. And it was a film, and the guy that filmed it had been flown in especially, and he was a Jewish film director that had worked with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
So what was he doing there?
Billy Wilder and all them.
Yeah, Billy Wilder. He's not a documentary maker. He's a Hollywood filmmaker.
Propaganda maker.
Yeah. This was all propaganda. This is why they had these tattoos and the supposed lampshades made from human skin. Again, why would somebody want to do that? Why would you want to do that?
Well, I think they wanted to make sure that National Socialism never rose again. And so if they got the world to hate it and think they were evil and did all these sick things, then that probably would be the end result. It probably wouldn't rise again. And it certainly did, done a good job, because, like I said, it's been a free-for-all. They've had the media, they've had Hollywood, they've had the press, they've had schools, education, you name it, and it's all been one-way traffic, without one voice being heard about National Socialism.
That table had some strange things on it, didn't it? It had, I think it had a pelvis bone. And they would say, oh, that was an ashtray. We're using this as an ashtray. I think what they did, they must have gone to this local museum and then just thought, well, one of the most macabre exhibits we can find, and we'll put them all on this table, and then we'll tell the Germans that this is what the National Socialists were doing, and these are all Jewish body parts. There's never been any proper evidence to show that any of it actually came from Jews.
No, and it disappeared and all after that. The thing is, right, is you've got to put yourself now in at Nuremberg, and you're a German officer of high command. And all of a sudden, you put a screen on, and you're completely oblivious to what the show. All of a sudden, you see these piles of dead bodies going out, and you know, obviously, they're saying they've been gassed, but you know, the Germans watching the film wouldn't know if they were gassed or whatever. They'd just been sat there stunned, because obviously the answer to every question they were asked were, I didn't know nothing about it, because obviously they didn't know nothing about it. And so they were just presented with all this footage and all this so-called evidence of shrunken heads and all this kind of carry on. They'd just been stunned.
Well, the next bit that we get to, he says, this is speaking to you, Dennis, he says, you are lying about no extermination decision having been found, because, of course, there isn't one. There was no final whatever it is. It says it has been found in Goebbels' diary entry describing Hitler's speech to a small circle of high-ranking officials.
Oh, dear.
So a small circle of high-ranking officials. So, you know, nobody else heard this. And this is just in Goebbels' diary.
This clown doesn't understand this. Germany in 1945 was shut down for 5 years. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out, unless the Americans said so. And so for 5 years, and that's a long time, they went through every textbook, every school book, burned more books than Goebbels ever did on that night. And then changed all of history, changed it with speeches. This is all verified in The War Had Many Fathers, which is a lecture and a book by a German author up on YouTube. And the fact is that even in school books, Hitler's speeches have been changed to make him sound like the aggressor.
I was just hearing...
If they can do that with textbooks, I'm sure they can do it with Goebbels' diary.
Well, I was just hearing today about some falsified speeches that that just didn't sound right, that are out there in the public domain. But he's when you actually look at the quote that he's got from Goebbels' diary, I'm not sure this, you know, whether this is talking about a final solution. Anyway, it just seems to be saying what you would say in any war about the enemy. And I'll read the quote out. It says, regarding the Jewish question, the Führer is determined to clear the table. He warned the Jews that if they were to cause another world war, it would lead to their own destruction. Those were not empty words. Now the world war has come. The destruction of the Jews must be its necessary consequence. We cannot be sentimental about it. It is not for us to feel sympathy for the Jews. We should have sympathy rather with our own German people. If the German people have to sacrifice 160,000 victims in yet another campaign in the East, then those responsible for this bloody conflict will have to pay for it with their lives.
Yeah. How racist to think of the Germans.
Yeah, that's basically what that's saying anyway. It's saying, well, the people that started this war should have to pay. And they've killed all these Germans. The people that started the war. People responsible for the conflict.
Well, even the final solution, that wasn't the call for mass genocide. No, it was a final solution to ship America either to Madagascar or to Palestine. But, I mean, you know, the conference, Wannsee conference, which was a TV, a Jewish version of what was said at the Wannsee conference, which, you know, is just hogwash.
Well, the final solution was a final solution to the problem of having a hostile ethnic minority in your country that's taken everything over and is basically parasiting off the nation. And the nation wants it back. And the final solution to that was to remove them from the country in whatever way possible.
The most sensible thing you could do.
Yeah, to entice them out. Nothing about gassing them. Moving on, it says at 7:20, that's 7 minutes, 20 seconds in, you raise a straw man as well as a false dichotomy. First, you imply that the only evidence that should count are autopsy reports, photos, or footage. And then he says, you forget about the documentary evidence. And then he produces some contemporary German documents. You know, and I mean, I would just say, well, when you were saying there, Dennis, that the only evidence that should count are autopsy reports, they have to actually have evidence of a victim. They have to have at least one autopsy report. Yeah, they have to have at least one report that says that somebody was gassed, and they don't have one, so they don't have the evidence.
These eyewitnesses, apparently, and there weren't that many of them, believe it or not, none came up with the right colour that a human body goes when it's starved of carbon monoxide. It's like, you know, every colour under the sun by the correct one was given. So this is how these eyewitnesses were so... And, of course, they didn't have a grudge. No grudge at all. And plus, there's no financial incentive at all. Just a lifetime of checks going through post.
Well, the documents that they did come out with, a lot of them have been shown to be forged, like the like the so-called confessions that were written in English and then signed or had the Germans writing in English while it was badly translated into English. All sorts of strange things went on with the confessions, with I think Hirsch named a concentration camp that never existed, a place in Germany that never existed. In his confession, you got all sorts of anomalies in there. And go on.
Can I just tell you one of the you know, the great, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, it's just scandalous. Her coming out of Nuremberg was Rudolf Hess. Now, obviously, Rudolf Hess was in prison at the time this so-called Holocaust was going on. But he's on trial with all the others. And at the end of it, it's obvious, because he's in a British prison, that he's got to be found not guilty. So they find him not guilty, but then they say, because he instigated starting an aggressive war, we're going to put you back in Nick for another 20, 30 odd years.
Well, they weren't the aggressors, were they? It wasn't them that declared war. It was Churchill that declared war, not Germany.
Yeah.
Not Germany.
So well, can I just say something, right, before I forget? About Nuremberg, I'll just say this, right? If it were, you know, just say it was the right thing to do, right? This happened after every war. Wouldn't you think, and I don't think it is, by the way, but wouldn't you think that you'd get neutral countries in? I mean, when you're giving all this evidence to a judge whose soldiers raped 2 million Germans, to another judge where Eisenhower's just murdered God knows how many in his camps, and Churchill's been bombing civilians from word go. Now, it's never going to be a good turnout, is it?
It's a kangaroo court.
Simple, isn't it? I mean, it's the enemy passing judgment.
Well, the judgment should be overturned just because of all these facts. So it wasn't a court, it was a tribunal, wasn't it? It was... It defied all the rules of a court of justice. He continues here. Stop. He says, then you imply that the only gassing witnesses that count testified at Nuremberg. And yes, Nuremberg witnesses could be cross-examined, he says. Well, what's the point in them being cross-examined if the defense witness is not allowed to properly defend his client?
Well, I'll go one better. What's the point of cross-examining when they've spent a cell the night before having the testicles kicked in?
Well, yeah, that as well. Over 100 of them. There was an investigation afterwards, that special investigation into the torture of the accused Germans. But what he's saying there is about the so-called witnesses to the gassing, and he's saying that there were other trials. He says the fact is that there were many dozens of trials to do specifically with gassings, and hundreds about the Holocaust in general, which is not reducible to gassings, and of them many took place in West Germany, so the Soviets' part was just another straw man, he says. But the Soviets were involved in the Nuremberg one.
Yeah, Germans were found guilty of the massacre at Katyn, and the Allies knew who did it.
He was.
I didn't quit for another 20 years.
Well, you're still not allowed to point out in Germany that it wasn't actually the Germans that were responsible for that. It was the Soviets.
Really?
Now, what that is casting doubt on the results of the Nuremberg trials, and you're not allowed to question the Nuremberg trial.
The Soviets massacred the Polish elite and the top guys. So we know that. So that's, you got to take everything there what they say with that in mind. And they come out with some guns.
Well, we know that when they try to cross-examine these eyewitnesses later on, when they were properly cross-examined, when you get to the trials with Ernst Sundel, when he was accused of fake news, and they actually had proper lawyers cross-examining the so-called witnesses, the witnesses were found to be lying, basically. They could not be relied upon. And these are the supposed top eyewitnesses that were used to make these prosecutions. And you've already pointed out they couldn't tell you what colour a corpse was supposed to be if it had been cyanide poison. It was supposed to be cherry red, and they gave all these different colours. They talked about different coloured smoke coming out from the crematoria. They gave ludicrous numbers, the absolutely impossible numbers of people that were supposedly gassed, which just isn't physically possible. What do you make of this bit where he says that some of these trials took place in West Germany? Because what he seems to be saying is that you were saying that these trials only took part on the Soviet side, and because the Soviets are unreliable, that's why they were lies. But he says that these trials also took place in West Germany.
Well, he's obviously unaware that during the 80s they did have an investigation in the West, and they come to the conclusion that there was no gassings in the West. And because we're not allowed to investigate the camps in the East, that still stands, that there were gassings in the East. But they said for many years that, and prisoners and guards all came out and said, yes, there were gassings, found to be not true. And the only gassings, allegedly, was in under Soviet territory. Now, if you can remember on Adolf Hitler's Great Story, when they went into these camps, he had a policy, Stalin, that he didn't believe in prisoners of war. And if you've been tainted by the West, like as German soldiers go into a village, when the tables were turned and the Soviets were pushing the Germans back, that village went straight to the Gulag, because they'd been told of many things by the Germans, and Stalin just said blanket Gulag. And he did the same with the prisoners, sent them to the Gulags. So most of these prisoners were missing, probably out of regions of Siberia somewhere.
Well, a lot of the Jews that were supposedly went missing, that's probably what happened to them as well.
Probably, yeah, because Stalin's... I mean, somebody said to me the other day, Stalin killed the Jews. Well, big deal, he killed everybody. Stalin was Stalin. I don't think any rules or regulations, if the time are right, the time are right.
Okay, the next bit says the Auschwitz had lots of non-extermination stuff idiocy is debunked at. And what he's basically saying there is that the Auschwitz swimming pool and the orchestra and the cinema and the creche and the hospital and all of that wasn't for the Jews. That was especially for the other prisoners there, but not for the Jews. So how can you...
Well, someone said to me the other day, they went on about slave labour, and I said, well, if there was slave labour, how come at Auschwitz they had camp money with the canteen?
Well, that's
slaves don't get paid, last I heard.
Well, what about the Jewish witnesses that say that they went to the concertos and they went to the cinema in the theatre? And what about the creche?
And the Christmas
play. So it's the Jews themselves have been witnesses that they did have access to all this at Auschwitz, and the fact that they had money shows that they could buy things from the shop.
Yeah, and the SS soldiers sided with, you know, the Poles in the football team and all this kind of carry on. We're all hidden. This were hidden for 30, 40 years, all this football in Auschwitz. But because it's come out, you know what I mean? Like, they do the best to to do a damage limitation, not, you know.
Moving on, the next bit, he says, David Cole now admits that Nazis gassed and shot Jews on a massive scale, which debunks your film right there and then. Why? What? No, because David Cole has gone back on his word. David Cole got death threats and had to disappear.
Yeah, he did get death threats. Once he surfaced, he didn't get a warning again. But masses were killed. All I know that David Cole said were that there was about 20 or 30, I find it far-fetched myself, but he's saying 20 or 30 were taken back to Berlin and they were actually experimented on and gassed. 20. Well,
it doesn't matter what David Cole says now.
No, it doesn't. It's been beaten up.
What David Cole said then, he showed the evidence for it, and the evidence hasn't been rebutted. Just because David Cole says something different now doesn't mean has changed. Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, David Cole went underground, and he became something to do with the Republican Party, and he became respectable, and then he got exposed as David Cole, the Holocaust denier from the 80s, and then he admitted that it was him, and then he recanted on a lot of his stuff because he wanted to get back in there with the Jews. But it didn't actually disprove the evidence. It was just David Cole trying to get back in there with the Jews again. So the fact that David Cole now says something different, it doesn't rebut any of the evidence. It doesn't change the facts.
So, yeah, same with David Irving, I just think that they've had a word in their ear. I mean, David Cole comes out of hiding for 20-odd years and suddenly he's exposed again. He's going to get a phone call. You know what I mean? Same with David Irving. He's been to court and all this kind of carry on. He's got massive bills. You know, we can help you out, David. You know, just say one or two things. And he's had I respect the guy. He's been a fighter. He spent a year in prison. You know, but like you say, it's what they first dug up, which was important.
Respect him for what he did in the 80s and the work that he did with Ernst Zundel and the videos that he did then. But the videos that he's done since then and the interviews, you can't really pay that much attention to them.
No.
There's an ulterior motive. He's not young and guided by truth.
By the way, somebody asked me the other week, why does David Irving never mention Freemason? And I couldn't answer it. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
Some puzzle, mate.
He may well be one. He may well be an honorary one. You know, we discussed this, didn't we, about how people get honorary professorships and doctorships at universities. Probably a similar thing. I think all the upper-class aristocracy types are influenced.
They're all sort of different schools than I were.
Whether they're active in it or not is a different matter. But then he's talking some more about David Cole here, and specifically some of the things that he calls it David Cole's nitpickings about the small Auschwitz gas chamber. What do you know about the small Auschwitz gas chamber, Dennis?
Nitpicking. 2,000 a day could fit in there.
What do you know about
the blue
gas
stains
chamber?
On the walls as well? You know, that's another giveaway, isn't it?
What did he say about the small gas chamber? Dennis, what was in your video about it?
It was knocked into one, weren't it? It was still small. Three, like a couple of bathrooms and something else knocked together. But you had the furnaces right next door for when when people die and you're cremating them. Whatever, burning clothes, if it's, risk of typhoid, you've got the furnaces. I mean, he'd gone for lunch, hadn't he? You've got a room full of gas. You haven't got lights, which is what are, protective of gas sparks going off. You've got all those windows and doors, and there's no seals anywhere. And then you've got these furnaces right next door. Like he said, there's just no way.
It's an accident waiting to happen.
And it never did. And we know why it didn't.
Blow the whole camp up, wouldn't it? He says, the Soviets tried to reconstruct the small gas chamber.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. Wonder why they bothered.
Exactly. After the crematorium morgue had been converted into an air raid shelter and partially botched the job. Big deal. This doesn't refute the small gas chamber in the slightest, nor, of course, the big gas chambers at Birkenau.
And yeah, so, well, I'm sure if they had a big gas chamber at Birkenau, there wouldn't have been any need for a conversion of, a, of an air raid shelter.
Well, wasn't the whole idea that there were these holes in the roof?
Yeah.
These SS officers supposedly clambered up onto the roof and
dropped the capsules through the holes.
Shook her through pellets.
Worst
through
bit of
the
plastic
holes.
Of everything, by the way.
And that killed 2,000 Jews at once from these little pellets that were dropped through the roof.
That's right.
And but doesn't this have to be heated up, doesn't it? I mean, this cyanide has to be heated up to actually create a gas. And you've got the middle of the winter, you've got no heating in there, you've got a big stone building, and surely you would need tons of the stuff to gas 2,000 people.
Yeah, you would. But even more intriguing is, if you were in that camp, and they were killing as many as what they said they killed, you'd be thinking, oh, that air raid shelter looks full again. I haven't seen Fred and Bert for a couple of weeks. Do you know what I mean? They're not daft prisoners.
And you had that small door there, and it would be impossible to pull all the people out. Because that was how the witnesses said. They said they just dragged the bodies out. They just dragged the bodies out along the ground, which is impossible. It's impossible to do.
Well, that Zundel trial, a lot of these people who had made these statements had written books, and they had to go back and change all the books. Otherwise, they'd have been in Otwick Court, you know, for perjury.
Oh, the other thing is surely this is a really, really inefficient method of killing people. Climbing up on a roof, throwing pellets in through the hole and hoping that these pellets are going to be heated up enough to eventually gas the people in this chamber. They'd be more likely to die of just being squashed up together, I would have thought, than actually the cyanide pellets falling on their head from above. It's just laughable. And then you think, well, hang on a minute. Why would the Germans be killing this resource? Why would they be killing their workers? They needed workers for the war effort. They needed people to be working in these camps. That's why there was all these huge factories in there and rubber making and everything else. So why would they then try to kill them off with the most inefficient killing methods known to man, using bug spray?
It's beyond me.
Completely illogical. And he doesn't. He doesn't you know, address that at all. I mean, what this guy is saying is, oh, well, there are documents, and by that he means photographs of the things we've already pointed out don't actually show anything at all. And then he's talking about witnesses, and the witnesses have been discredited, but the whole actual idea, the whole concept of it is completely insane. It's completely mad.
Well, actually, the Holocaust reparations is insane. Because if you lived in Germany in 1933, which was like 7, 8 years off the war, if you lived in Germany and then moved to Mexico and all through the war you sat on a beach and suntanned till 1945, you go and get your pension, you go and get your Holocaust pension, and you haven't been anywhere near a war or a camp.
That's a huge money-making scam, but it also exemplifies what Hitler spoke about telling, if somebody tells you a small lie, it gets suspected. But if somebody tells you a really huge lie, then you don't suspect them, and the people don't suspect them. And this was such a massive lie, and it was so ludicrous and completely
the people believed it.
Mad. Yeah. People believed it, and people still believe it to this day. And it's only when you point out these things and you say, really? People washed themselves in dead Jews? They made lampshades out of them? And then people start to think. But up until that point, it just went in one ear and out the other without them thinking about it. They're just them thinking, oh, how horrible. Oh, how evil and wicked and nasty that was. We must never allow nationalism ever again. Otherwise, this will happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't think about it critically because they're not allowed to think about it critically because they're all supposed to be in awe of this terrible thing and we're all supposed to feel so terrible about it. We're not supposed to question it because as soon as you start questioning it, as soon as there's a small chip in it, that's it. The whole thing falls down and you realize that it's a big lie. And then he says,
it's religion, isn't it?
He says the aerial photos do show smoke. And he's talking about open air incineration. Well, I dare say they did have a few outdoor fires there for whatever reason.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Not huge, great pits burning bodies. Again, that's a really inefficient way to get rid of bodies. Yeah, you need a crematorium.
They just burned, other than 90% water.
Well, and this was it at Auschwitz as well. You've got the water supply. If they were to have dug pits and buried bodies there, it would have polluted the water supply. So that just wasn't possible.
Yeah, fair point.
And if you have an open pit and you put bodies in it and try to burn them, I mean, that's just not going to work. They never had the coal. They never had the fuel to burn these massive amounts of bodies. And they've never found any remains of these bodies either.
No, they haven't. And they've had eight searches and everything on the grounds, different camps. And one of them's not that big of a camp. They said quite a few million died there. And they couldn't find any readings.
Well, the Jews have a particular scam with that as well. They say that because of religious sensibilities, they're not supposed to dig up Jewish bodies. So they say you're not allowed to dig there because of religious sensibilities. They use this excuse all the time.
You don't have to dig then. Well, look, we've found a million bodies in this field. But they haven't even found that.
Well, they use the same excuse out in the Middle East. Around Palestine and around Jerusalem. They said, you're not allowed to dig up to find out the archaeology of this because you might be digging up Jews. And what it really is they don't want it to be dug up because they know that they'll be found to be liars. And it's exactly the same situation here. They won't allow them to dig up these places where supposedly 6 million Jews died because they know that there's going to be found no evidence of these Jews actually dying there. Do you remember there was... I think it was an Eric Hunt documentary recently.
They did do a little bit of
digging, and they tried to say something was a Jewish Star of David, and it was found to be from a local factory. It was just a pattern from a tile, and yet
I think one of the reporters or narrators planted some bones or something on them lines. I can't remember quite, but there were plants there and. Obviously, it looks good for television, doesn't it?
Well, the next bit it says here, it says the cyanide residue has been found. Leuchter has been exposed as a fraud.
Oh, dear.
Do you know what that's
referring to? Didn't Paul and the cells do an investigation after Fred and come to the same conclusion?
Well, he scraped up the scrapings off the wall from where the gas chamber supposedly was, and all there was tiny, tiny amounts there, or none at all, just the same amount that you would actually find in the air normally. And then in the bug spraying area for where the sheets and the blankets, where they were all actually clean with cyanide, that was where you found a high concentration of it, but there was none of it in the gas chambers. And I've had a look at this bit here.
Sorry, go on.
And what he's trying to say, what the guy is trying to debunk it is trying to say, he's trying to say that that human beings would not need anywhere near as much cyanide as a bug would need. But you would still have to fill the whole air with it in order to kill all these people. That's what I was saying earlier. You would not be able to tip out enough of these pellets to actually gas people. You can't gas people with pellets. You have to actually have gas coming out in a spray. And if it was coming out in a spray, if it was in a concentration enough to actually kill people, the walls would have been coated in it. And they weren't. So Leuchter hasn't been exposed as a fraud.
Well, like I said about Fred,
I'm just saying, it's just these people trying to debunk it are really getting desperate and clutching at straws.
The thing is about Fred, right, he got really attacked by the Jews. And now it's, he wasn't this and he wasn't that, he wasn't an engineer and all this. The thing with Fred was, he was the leading expert on gas executions in the world. And the reason why in the world, because America were the only country in the world what killed people by gassing. And Fred Leuchter actually built the gas chambers and knew everything back to front about a gassing of an execution. So when the Jews are saying, oh, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, he was the world's foremost expert. It's like saying, you're not a mechanic, so you can't fix that car. But if you've been studying, you know, how a car works and runs and for the last 10 years, and even if you haven't been to college, and you can put that engine in and put it back out, you know, to me, you're a mechanic.
He knew exactly what he was doing, and yeah. he was the expert, and he wasn't trying to do it to help Ernst Zundel. They paid him a lot of money. They tried to find
big money. I mean, it's not because he risked his life.
Yeah, well, they tried to find an expert for doing this, and that's what they set upon. In America, they still have gassings, so what we'll do is we'll find a gassing expert in America that works on the American gas chambers, and we'll pay him the money, and we'll ask him to go over there and investigate.
And the judge refused to admit the evidence.
Yeah, when he came back, he said it was absolutely impossible. Nobody was ever gassed there.
Yeah.
And his life was ruined. For saying that,
yeah,
for doing that.
Yeah.
A very brave man, very courageous man.
Yeah, he's still going today. He's on YouTube every now and again, I see him.
Yeah, he's amazing. The next bit, it says the alleged photo fakery is dealt with. And he tries to say that the photo, where we said that the Soviet pictures are fake, they're not really fake. I mean, I don't know how anyone can deny that there are a lot of fake photos out there that were put out by the Soviets. And you can see the two pictures together. It's supposedly National Socialist soldiers chuckling and laughing while they've got somebody hanging there. And it's not they've got like a chicken in their hands. These photographs have been debunked. The next bit he says...
Well, the problem is...
Go on.
Go on, sorry.
No, go on.
I keep insulting you today. Oh, sorry.
I was going to move on to the next bit. If you've got something you want to say about the photos, Dennis.
Yeah, well, can I just briefly say that, you know, even the photos which the Germans accused of these massacres, and you must have seen them with these women and nude women and these soldiers in what looked to be German uniforms with rifles are aimed at these women and children. And, you know, I always felt that they had 3 million German uniforms, probably 6 million altogether, right? But 3 million German uniforms I was going to put to good use. And lo and behold, he did bring the law out. There's a law that Stalin brought out saying that they got to burn every village within a certain range and blame it on the SS. I mean, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, there's so-called photos knocking around with Russian soldiers dressed as Germans, so dressed as Poles when they walked through Warsaw, if you remember. That's the way that's the great story never told.
Well, there's also all the pictures of the dead bodies. And bulldozing these bodies. There's so many bodies, they had to bulldoze them into these great big pits. But the fact was, because of the carpet bombing of all the infrastructure, no food could get to the camps. The Germans themselves barely had enough to eat. And if you've got a camp and you've got, say, 10% of it is the Germans and the German officers and 90% of it is prisoners and the enemies of the state, and all you've got is enough food for 5% of all of them, that's going to go to the German officers. It's not going to go to the prisoners, and that's going to be the same wherever you are in the world. And, you know, the officers have to be kept healthy so that they can keep order and look after the rest.
Exactly.
It was Allied bombing that caused all of that. And it just made me think then as well, I mean, we often get shown these pictures of boots and hair, and that's supposed to be sinister. And clothing. The fact is that these clothing was full of lice, so they were given new clothing when they got to the concentration camps. They were given new boots when they got to the concentration camps. That's what all these piles of shoes were. And the hair was cut off because of the lice. It was all in order to save lice.
It's a satanic way, don't they? Put a load of hair behind the glass window and say, look at all these Jews what died and lost their...
You just hit your mute button.
Yeah, I know. Got it. Yeah, so what can I say? It still fools people that today, you know.
Well, it does. This is why we have to say it. We have to point it out to people because otherwise they will think it's sinister. They'll just take it in and go along with it. Next, he says the 300,000 dead argument is a lie. Only registered inmates were meant in that footage, very obviously. He says the official figure was 4 million after all. 300,000 dead, He says it's a lie because it was only the registered inmates. But surely they were. Of course they were all registered. Everyone that was in the camp was registered. If you had somebody not registered, it meant they'd escaped from somewhere. They had to be all registered.
And after 2 days, you probably thought going back to camp for some food.
Do you know what I mean, though? They can't say they're people running around that they didn't know who they were inside these camps. That would be like saying that you've got a prison today and you've got people just walking around and the prison warders have got no idea who they are.
Exactly.
I mean, we've already got problems with drones and all sorts of contraband in our prisons, let alone people being smuggled in and out. You know, it has to be, when they've got registered records of all the people that were in there, that has to be all the people that were in there. And when they've got registered records of all the dead, that's all the dead that they had. And the Red Cross bore that out. The Red Cross were in there and said it was, 250,000?
Yeah.
Died in all?
Like, pushed under the carpet, hasn't it?
Well, you've also got the amount of coke it was that they used in the crematorium. And the amount of coke that was requisitioned for the crematorium is the correct amount for the figures that we've got for the official dead figures. There wasn't any more than that. There's no extra hidden piles of coke in the pictures, the aerial photographs that they took. You can see the piles of coke, the amount that they had. You can see, you would see whether these crematorium were going all the time. And also we got the decrypts. When they decrypted the so-called secret messages that the Germans were sending, and the Germans didn't know that, there's no mention of it at all about this happening. None whatsoever.
Or them three volumes of work, nobody mentioned them at all. And then 8,000 pages, Churchill and Eisenhower and de Gaulle, not one mention.
Yeah, in all the memoirs, it doesn't really start getting talked about until the 70s. There was this mention of it at Nuremberg, and that was from people that had been tortured, and the witnesses were just talking absolute rubbish, and they've been shown to be talking absolute rubbish when you actually look at it. And then suddenly there was this, it suddenly seemed to become a fad in the 70s. Once the memory of it had died down in a lot of people, I guess they thought they'd be able to get away with it because it had been since it happened. Yeah, and now the further we get away from it, the more they try to get away with even more. They want it to be taught in schools. They want kids to be dragged off to Holocaust museums. They want it to be mandatory Holocaust training in schools. And yet it was 70 years ago, 80 years ago coming up to. He says it's debunked. He says this is all debunked at Holocaust controversies. And it's worth looking at the Holocaust controversies site. Have a look at the way that they have tried to debunk what we say about it, because it's false. And you can see that when you look at it. And he says, there are laws against denying the Armenian genocide and a law in Turkey that bans the assertion of the Armenian genocide. So your claim about the Holocaust being the only such event is another lie. That's a copy of the Jewish law, and it only applies in Turkey. And that is
exactly.
And it's the Turks banning the Armenians talking about it because it's the Turks that burned them all alive.
And lots of Armenians getting deported from the USA.
Yeah, and it's the Armenians that are saying, hey, the Turks did this to us.
Yeah.
That's why Turkey's banned it. It's not, you cannot say that is the same in any way to the Jews banning us questioning this, and the Jews saying it was them.
He said to the Ukrainians, don't mix your Holocaust with my Holocaust. There's only one Holocaust. Otherwise, you don't get your money from the banks. Yes, Mr. Foxman, we will do that, Mr. Foxman.
Well, it's supposedly a special kind of suffering, isn't it? The Jews have a special kind of suffering that nobody else can imagine, and nothing else can be compared to it, because it's such a special kind of suffering. And yet when you think about it, there was 40 million white people that died in that war, and we never hear about them. All we hear about is the Jews in the Holocaust, and the Jews were the ones that were responsible for starting the war in the first place. They declared war on Germany. They were the ones that created the conditions where Hitler rose to power, even. They were the ones to blame for everything. Even if you want to blame Hitler, you can still blame the Jews, because if they hadn't destroyed Germany in the way that they did, he wouldn't have had to get rid of the banks and get rid of all the people that were screwing the Germans into the ground. So whichever way you look at it. If you look at it from the communism side, I mean, it was National Socialists against communists, and communism was majority Jewish. And the partisans, the partisans in the countries that Germany occupied were Jewish. So the enemy was Jewish. I mean, this was a war between Germany and Jews, basically. And so, of course, Jews are going to die, the same as Germans are going to die, and British died, and French died, and Dutch died, and all the white peoples ended up dying in this war. And yet it's only the Jews' death that we're supposed to honour.
Well, that comes straight at the time, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. He says even the best of the Gentiles must be killed, is what the Talmud says. And that's what the war was. It was the best of us being killed.
And they're the superior race. And we're the cattle.
And he's got a final bit here. He says, of course, you never ever deal with the extensive documentary evidence for the Holocaust. You're totally silent about the massacres of Jews like Baba Yar. And then he comes up with another link here. And I had a look at this. I had a look at this evidence of the Baba Yar massacre. And what he's got some notices that were put up by the Germans saying that the Jews need to assemble somewhere. And basically they killed these Jews. But it also says the reason why. It says that these Jews had been setting fire to everything, and it had been discovered that they were the ones behind all the arson attacks. It said that this was in the Ukraine, in Kiev, and it said that the Kievan people said that it was the Jews that were doing this. It was the Jews that were the partisans, and they were the ones that were causing the trouble. So you've got you've got Germans occupying the place, trying to keep order, and again, you've got the Jews setting fire to everything. And being partisans. So these Jews were punished for that. They were executed for that. And that would be my way of looking at it. But I doubt that it's even correct documentary evidence, because there's nothing really to show that it's originals. It could be anything. Because we know that...
No, well, the thing is, a lot of people get mixed up with communism, because when they went in, they had these special squads to take out the top communists, leaders in these towns or whatever, because there's no way, you know, they were indoctrinated and they were never going to turn. So they took them out. And then obviously the townsfolk were a lot more appeasing, because it shows on again, I don't think the greatest story, it shows getting whacked over head with a plank of wood before the Germans even got there.
Well, this is the thing. You've got the Germans fighting against enemy combatants, communists, and yet now that the war's over, these enemy combatants, these communists, they're called Holocausted Jews. They're the poor Jews, the innocent victims. Well, they weren't. They were enemy combatants. They were leading the communists, leading the Red Army.
I remember watching a video of Dr. Barton, who was a British medic in one of the camps there. And he said that the food what was handed out, there would be some real tough prisoners there. These communists, you know, they ain't going to be sharing that food out with anybody and nobody. You know what I mean? So a lot of the prisoners were given the food, but it was taken off them by this clique, you know, in the camps. And what can you do?
Well, a lot of the Jews were put in charge of these other Jews, weren't they? And that's what you do if you've got a prison or you've got a camp like that. You say, well, we'll put some of your own people in charge over you, because then the people don't feel so bad about being told what to do. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just common practice, really. That's the way these places work. And they clearly weren't going to be just killing all their workforce off. I mean, none of the story makes any sense whatsoever. And this guy's attempt at debunking your documentary, Dennis, it doesn't debunk any of it. It just reiterates the evidence which you already debunked.
Many have tried.
Well, that's it. Your documentary debunks all of that. He's just repeating it, basically.
They've been trying to get rid of it for a while. They're still trying to get rid of it, because it is what it is, and that's why.
Well, they'll never get rid of it, will they? And people can also buy DVDs of it. So if it does disappear from the internet, you can get a hard copy. Anyway, Dennis, we've reached the end of the podcast. So
okay. I'll say
thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with the... is it going to be the last edition of Truthful Out Radio before Christmas? It might be. Anyway, until then, we hope you all have a wonderful weekend ahead of you, and we'll see you all next Friday.